Your speaker is Winfred Claiborne of Fayetteville, Tennessee.
Thank you very much. Every student of the Old Testament knows how often the Jews forsook the Lord to serve idols. Who can forget these stirring words from the great prophet Jeremiah? Be astonished, O you heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be very desolate, says the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. Jeremiah 2, 12 and 13. But before we become too critical of the ancient Israelites, maybe we should examine our own attitudes and practices. Did you know that the Bible classifies covetousness as idolatry? Please listen. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth: fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Colossians 3, 5. Maybe that was a slip of the pen. Did Paul really mean that covetousness is idolatry? For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Ephesians 5, 5. The word translated covetousness literally means to desire more, to overreach. The verb form is used 5 times, the adjective form 4 times, and the noun form 10 times. These words are always used in a bad sense. We tend to think of covetousness or greed as applying only to our inordinate desire for material wealth, and it is so used most of the time in the New Testament. But the word can apply far beyond desire for money or other material possessions. It can even refer to coveting another man's wife. Every Bible student is familiar with the 10th commandment. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Exodus 20, 17. Luke tells of a man who came to Jesus and requested, "Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me." And Jesus said unto him, "Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you?" Now please listen carefully to our Lord's statement. Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Luke 12, 13-15. Jesus followed this powerful statement with a parable about a rich man who took too much pride in his riches. Luke 12, 16-21. We can understand why Jesus and his apostles so strongly condemned covetousness. But how could Paul call it idolatry? Does not idolatry involve setting up a piece of stone or wood and calling it God? From a biblical viewpoint, idolatry is allowing money or power or popularity to come between us and our God. Whatever we honor more than we honor God is our idol. Does that mean one could elevate his politics above God and make an idol of politics? Could one allow his family to come between him and God and thus constitute an idol? I have seen idolatry, as we commonly define the term, only in Southeast Asia. In Malaysia, I saw the fat Buddha, the snake temple, and other forms of idolatry. But those who worship a stick or a stone are not the only idolaters. One's religion could become an idol if it is not founded on the teaching of Scripture. If we allow anything to come between us and our God, we should remember these words: "Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry." 1 Corinthians 10, 14. Why should we be so concerned about idolatry? Because idolaters shall not inherit the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10. We thank you for listening. May God bless you.